Wow, that side is like totally empty. Hi, Darren and Tiara. Wow, good to see everyone. Good morning. Good
morning.
I have been recently listening to a few different different comedians, podcasts, things like that. And I also got a new Bible recently that I really like, but I was reading through it, and somewhere in there, I was reading under below, I think it was Gideon, and it was talking about how, you know, some of the people bowed down and brought their hands to their mouth, and some of them lapped like a dog, and it said, it totally said the opposite of what I read. The commentary underneath said that God kept the ones that the story says he didn't keep. And I was like, that's not what it says at all. So that just got me thinking about, you know, what I'm taking in and how gullible to be, how much to push back against what I hear. I think also there was a Bible plan a few of us started, and somebody mentioned something about something in the devotional part of the Bible study, said something that wasn't factual, and someone pointed that out, and it was like, okay, you can't just read things and take it in. You have to actually like think about it and study. Anyway, today I'm talking about that idea, contending for the faith, pushing back against, not just accepting things, I guess. Okay, I'm going to turn to Matthew 7. Yeah, kind of, here, I have it written down better than what's on my mind. I said, there are people who identify with those who believe in Jesus, who don't belong. Jesus called them wolves among sheep in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, starting in verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistle? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the study that I was able to do, and just all the time I was able to think about these things, and I pray that it would be a blessing to those who hear it today. Be with all those who are sick or not here for various reasons. Pray that you would be with them if they're listening in, that they would get something, and if they're not listening in or whatever they're doing, I'm not exactly sure. Bless all those who are here. Thank you for this day. I pray that you would bless the sharing and reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's go to, first let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to be reading a few different chapters that talk about this idea. Sorry, did I say 1 Peter? I meant 2 Peter, if I said 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read the full chapter. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets among false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that should live ungodly, that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation, the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. Of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. All right, before I speak into really any of that, I'm going to turn to Jude. We're going to read the book of Jude as well. Just the whole thing. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Excuse me. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So, we saw in Matthew 7 and 2 Peter chapter 2 and here, a lot of different things about these people. And I just, reading through this, I saw a lot of things in common with Jude and 2 Peter, and I'm going to point out some of the characteristics of these false teachers. They're characterized by turning God's grace into lasciviousness, or however you say that, I don't exactly know. But that word lasciviousness, which is the word aselgia in Greek, meaning license or indulging freedom to excess. That comes from verse 4 here. There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Basically turning God's grace into a license to get what they want, to fulfill their lust. Okay, another characteristic is fitting in with believers. Again, coming from verse 4, it says creeping in unawares or unnoticed. Like they're just in there and you can't tell a difference, really. You have to really focus if you're going to tell a difference. Verse 4 again. Another characteristic is denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, that word denying being contradicting. That's from verse 4 and also 2 Peter, we just read verse 1. Let me just read that quick. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And I don't think that means, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe that means they're going to deny who God is, but contradicting him. Because if they deny who God is, they're easily spotted. So I feel like if it's them just blatantly saying, no, I don't actually believe in God, then of course we're not going to be deceived by them. They're not going to mix with us. So it's going to have to be something a little more stealthy, like contradicting. And that's, I used a concordance for that word denying, and it meant something along the lines of like contradiction. Anyway, the next characteristic is despising government. That comes from Jude verse 8, Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Also, we saw the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. And another characteristic, speaking evil of things they don't understand and corrupting themselves with what they do understand. That comes from our verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. That also comes from 2 Peter 2:12, which I have already read. I read both of those chapters because I knew there was going to be a lot of correlations between them. 2 verse 10, I believe is what? No, 2:12. Having your conversation, that's 1 Peter, excuse me. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. So it says the same thing there. I believe, if I understand correctly, Peter had access to the book of Jude, so that would be part of the reason why a lot of this overlaps, but still, it's kind of affirming Jude either way. Okay, the next thing I was going to point out is greedy. They are greedy. Verse 11 in Jude. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. And that also comes from 2 Peter 2, verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Okay, the next characteristic is they do not have godly fruit. They are substanceless spiritually. That comes from 2 Peter 2:17. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. I'll read verse 18 too, because it talks about, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who lived in error. So just a lot of talk and not any substance. That was 2 Peter, and the correlation verse is verse 12 in Jude, which says, these are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. They're dead, little side note. They're dead because they're not abiding in the vine. Anyway, that's free. All of this is free, but. Okay, the next characteristic of these people, they are complainers. Jude's verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. There are a lot of examples in the Bible of people who were complaining. God hates complaining. The children of Israel just, over and over again, they just didn't understand that God hated complaining, and they kept getting judged for it. They're like, what's going on? And they obviously had other things too, but God does not like complaining. Another characteristic, they are partial to those who are well off. Proverbs 28:21. Proverbs 28, verse 21. You don't have to turn there, I'm just telling you. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. Also, partial to those who are well off, verse 16 here in Jude. Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. And also 2 Peter. Oh no, sorry. James 2, verse 1 and verse 9. Verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. And then jumping to verse 9. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So that's holding one person up above another person because of what they possess. We see mockers is another characteristic in these chapters. Verse 18, well, I'll read 17 too. Behold, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. So they are mockers. And in 2 Peter 3, 3, 2, 3. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment... Nope, that's not supposed to be. What's that? You're right. I was reading 2:3. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Yeah, pretty much word for word the same thing from Jude. I think everybody gets the point. Another point, just to get another characteristic, they separate themselves. They disjoin themselves or cause division and say, no, we don't want to be with you because you're actually wrong about this. Anyway, that comes from verse 19 and Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25 is the verse that talks about forsaking, how we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And then it says, as the manner of some is. So it's saying, these people are forsaking the assembly. Alright, so we see a bunch of characteristics. There are more, but we all get the point. And it's a good study. We would do well if we would study this for ourselves. I'm just pointing out a lot of what I was noticing. Our response to those who fit this category, according to Romans 16:17, should be to mark and avoid them. That's something that can be pretty hard to do. It's like, well, how do you know that I'm any better than them? Like, how am I? How can I point at them and say they're wrong? Like, you point a finger at them and you're pointing three back at yourself, basically. So we need to ask for wisdom from the Lord for application, for marking and avoiding specifically. And then something not really in response to them, but the end here in Jude, it says, build yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. And before I go into more responses we should have, there are more found in 2 Timothy. I'm going to be reading a bit from there, so you can turn there if you'd like. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And I'm going to be reading 15 through chapter 3, verse 3, the verse 9. So, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, without skipped ahead there accidentally, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So we see a lot more characteristics here that I didn't go into, of these people who claim to be believers and are not. I'm not going to necessarily go into that. What I was noticing from here when I was reading through was kind of the response we're supposed to have to these people. It says that we need to be studying for ourselves to be approved to God in verse 15. It says we need to shun perverse and meaningless babblings in verse 16. We need to depart from iniquity, verse 19, meaning withdraw yourself from wickedness. Verse 22 says we need to flee youthful lusts. Verse 23, avoid foolish and ignorant questions. Verse 25 and 26, meekly instruct those who oppose, contradict themselves. There's a bit more we could go into, but I think everybody gets the point by now. Ultimately, our struggle shouldn't be with these people. Our struggle is with Satan. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in the dark places. Let me just read that. Yeah, probably. That's probably it. Did I say 6? Yep. 6, 11, and 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then it goes into the armor of God. That would be a good study, but it's a little bit not exactly what I'm talking about. So it says that our struggle is not against the people who are teaching wrong things and pretending to be teaching right things. Our struggle is not against them, because ultimately they're put in place by Satan to deceive. Our battle is with Satan. We are told in James 4:7 that we need to be resisting Satan, and when we resist Satan, he will flee from us. It should be no surprise that the devil will try to confuse and combine believers with unbelievers. He is the father of lies, and we know that no lie is of the truth. So just like summing everything up, we need to watch and observe those who we allow to influence us and not be gullible. We need to avoid those who have the fruit of the fruit or evidence of being false teachers, that we saw the characteristics there. And we need to keep in mind that we're not really fighting them. They're not the true enemy. We need to pray for them, and we need to love them, but ultimately, we need to recognize our battle is actually not against them. Anyway, those are just some of my thoughts. Thank you.